I don't even know how to do this anymore. Oh yeah, give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Phenomenal podcast, episode 57. Say you're strong forever. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Phenomenal podcast, episode 57, recorded on August the 17th, 2016, brought to you by RayRay.net and the Happy Hour Network. I am the ace that runs this place. My name is Ray Moraldi, but everyone knows me as Ray Ray. If you guys have never heard this podcast or have never heard of me, people mostly know me as an NBA online writer. I run the NBA site called TheNoLookPass.com. I talk a lot about the NBA, but sometimes I talk about other things like music and video games and TV shows and pop culture in general, which makes this show very fundamental. It's my first podcast in a couple of months. I'll explain way later in the show, but my guest for this episode is Casey Sager. She's a writer for B-Ball Breakdown and also part of the stat team for Turner Sports. And if the last name sounds familiar to NBA fans, yes, she is the daughter of Craig Sager, who is a super sideline reporter for NBA on TNT. Most of the NBA family knows that Craig has been fighting leukemia for most of the past couple of years. All of us are going to keep wishing you for the best, Mr. Sager. Keep fighting a good fight and beat that thing. Here's me and Adam Jacoby talking to the wonderful Casey Sager. Ray Ray is Phenomenal Podcast, episode 57. I haven't podcasted in 2 months. This is going to be really, really, really weird. This is Ray Ray. And joining me, as always, the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
Says who? Says who? Says who? Did you have a question for me?
You're already making this so awkward. Like, I haven't done this podcast in a while, and you're just like, says who? I know what you're talking about.
Okay, good.
I know what you're talking about. I saw it earlier, and it's just like...
But you guys are down. And it makes
says
sense
who?
That there would...
Says
holes,
who?
Most of them. All of them?
Says who?
Super, super awkward. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I was at a zoo earlier today, and then I ate a burrito, and I made a mess.
I saw a giraffe on your timeline. That's awesome.
Yeah, I went to Jurassic Park.
So awful. Oh, yeah, we have a guest. She's on the staff team for Turner Sports. She's a contributor for B-Ball Breakdown. And you may also know her as the daughter of the super awesome, popular, stylish Craig Sager that you see on NBA on TNT. Casey Sager, what's up?
What's up? I'm excited.
How's it going?
Hanging in there.
See, you hyped our podcast up, and my mentions just kind of exploded. I'm just kind of like, I guess we're supposed to do good now on this podcast, aren't we? Because we kind of suck.
There's zero pressure here. This is my first ever podcast, so.
Ah, see, now I'm all anxious and stuff like that. No, we actually don't really suck because Adam's on the podcast, so you know, there you go. Because he's gonna tell us a good story later on after all this is done, right?
I tell good
can
stories.
Can I hang up before then? Like, do you stay on the whole time?
You will stay. Yeah,
Casey will stay. Like, she heard one of our podcasts earlier, and she just sounded like she was looking forward to that story. That you're gonna
so much. So much.
So, Casey, on a serious note, so it's been quite a roller coaster year, or maybe even the past couple years for you. So, how's your dad doing right now?
He's hanging in there too. I just got the phone with him. We're all set in place for the transplant to be August 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be his third transplant. It's actually a non-familial donor this time. So we'll find out in a year if he wants to figure out who he donated to, and then I can go give him a hug. But
yeah.
My brother donated the first couple times. It was probably going to be me if we couldn't find another match this time around. So
yeah.
Off the hook for having to, you know, have my hip bone drilled into, but it would have been nice to be able to do that for him.
Yeah, it's been quite an up and down, I guess, like I said, roller coaster for you, but also, like,
you were at the ESPYs in LA earlier, and you said you had a couple stories concerning that too. So, you want to go ahead and tell them?
I mean, yeah, like just the whole general experience. It's been, I mean, I've lived in Atlanta my entire life, and the whole South, like, it's all college sports. So, I feel like I spent most of my life, like, thinking that my dad was really underrated. Like, nobody really appreciated what he was doing.
Right.
And just, I mean, the first, like, after the initial diagnosis a couple years ago, I mean, I was getting messages from people in Spanish and Mandarin, just, you know, wishing him well, and it's been pretty overwhelming seeing how much everyone loves him. It's nice to know that he actually is appreciated, and people pretty much stopped giving him crap for his suits, too, which is nice. Like, nobody's like, ever saying anything bad about him anymore, which is kind of weird. It never really bothered me before. The only time it ever bugged me was when people, like, accused him of wearing a toupee, because that is his real hair, but... no, like, the ESPYs, it was just very surreal. Everything leading up into that, too, like, him getting to work game 6 of the finals, like, that was nuts. There's my brother and I sat there after the game looking at each other, like, what the hell just happened? Like, just knowing what a huge, I mean, that was probably the biggest game of LeBron's career up to that point, and, you know, him turning the spotlight on to my dad during that interview, that was just pretty intense. But the ESPYs were a lot of fun. They went by in a blur. I don't know. I still honestly haven't even rewatched his speech. Like, I'm waiting until I feel like I can handle that. And, like, I know generally what he said, but, like, in that moment, especially trying to make sure that I'm not having, like, a wardrobe malfunction and knowing that, like, the camera's on, like, all of us when we're spotting and I'm not a cute fryer. And just, it was more so, like, I was just watching him kind of take everything in and, like, watching his face more so than necessarily listening to everything he's saying. It was just out of body experience for sure.
The things that you remember, the details, because if it's not a super big moment for you personally, like if it's somebody else telling that story, and you know, let's say it's somebody else's dad and somebody else is the daughter, and they tell that story, the details almost sound random, except when you're in that moment. And then the things that jump out at you, like you said, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. But the weight, the gravity of the moment is something that sticks with you without you even having to remind yourself ever.
Oh, yeah, like, different details keep jumping out, like, every time I think back on it. It was just kind of hard to take it all in while it was happening. But, I mean, like, the parties leading up to it, there was the ESPN body party the night before, and that was, you know, for their body issues, so they're just pictures of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people naked, like, all over the walls. And meanwhile, they're walking out, it's like, trays of sliders, and I'm like, I'm not eating that. You're not giving me a burger right now. Like, I'm looking at, like, the most athletic people ever. I was also not prepared. I just thought we were, like, going to some bar. I didn't realize it was a red carpet thing. I didn't shave my legs or anything. And then all of a sudden, just, like, a whole bunch of cameras flashing in my face. I have not seen any pictures from that. I really don't want to. I hope that somebody, like, lost the film from it. Definitely deer in the headlights.
Yeah, so you've been kind of, I guess, thrust into the spotlight since, obviously, your dad was diagnosed. But, like, so what do you have next coming up on your plate, you and your brother, actually?
I know that I talked a little bit with you about a few things. Definitely some things that we're keeping under wraps for now. It's just, it's really, like, I feel kind of bad. Like, I have so many friends that, like, aren't that close to their siblings. And I feel bad for them. Like, it's just, it's so awesome that, like, everything that he and I have gone through. And we've always been close, but, I mean, obviously we beat the crap out of each other when we were younger. Like, he's 2 years younger than me. But, like, somehow, like, after all of this crap, like, we've just ended up on the exact same page with everything. And it's really nice to, like, have somebody that, like, I don't have to, like, censor myself around. Like, he knows, obviously, everything that I'm going through. And we just, I don't know, every time that, like, this sounds ridiculous. Like, every time that I hang out with him, every time that we talk, like, I just end up feeling, like, inspired by it. Because it's really nice to, like, he's just, he's like, a genius. anything that I'm like about to like take over the damn world, and it's awesome to have somebody who feels that way and who's vocal about it. And I don't know, there's definitely a book in the works, a couple things that we're doing with various cancer foundations, gala in New York in November, a bunch of stuff coming up, kind of hard to like, I don't know, I need to start keeping a calendar instead of just not even going day by day. I'm going like 6 hour chunk by 6 hour chunk, like just trying to like make sure that I'm not screwing myself over tomorrow and taking care of things. But he's a busy, busy bee too. He covers the Falcons and all of like high school sports in Georgia. And ridiculous how hard he works.
Well, I mean that's good. I mean, it's the to have something to occupy yourself, not so that you can like ignore your dad and everything that he's going through, but just the ability to not have to put everything else on hold all the time. It's a big, for lack of a better term, way to stay sane. So it's
no,
great
absolutely.
To hear that you're getting these opportunities, and that you're making the most of them. So, I mean, I get it. you don't get to talk about everything that you're doing until it's time to talk about everything that you're doing. Easily speak for Ray on that one, too. So.
Oh, we have a golf tournament coming up for the Sager Strong Foundation on September 4th. My dad's country club. You won't be able to be there. But apparently he signed me up for it anyway. I don't really want to. I'll drive a drink cart around, but I don't necessarily want to play. I haven't really played all that much recently, and I know like John Smoltz is going to be there. And I know he's a ridiculous golfer. But my little sister's driving up from Tampa with her boyfriend, so we'll be a foursome. And apparently my dad was very generous with our handicaps when he signed us up. So hopefully I will not make an ass of myself, or I'll just start drinking very heavily at the beginning of it and. Well, I'm getting really grumpy pants when I'm horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told Casey, I think a few weeks ago, that I have met her dad, Craig, and it was during Lakers Media Day, and he actually took a few minutes to just talk to me about things, because it was my first Media Day, and I had no idea what I was doing there, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so overwhelming, seeing all these actual players for the first time and stuff like that, and it's just like, you know, he helped me calm down, and, you know, it was really cool, and so you can just take a few minutes of his time to do that.
That's how I describe it. He puts people at ease, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I say, you may not remember that, but because he's met so many people over the place, but, you know, I always will, definitely.
I don't know, they're people that, like, I've been in the locker room with, like, 40 times at this point, who, like, still won't even make eye contact with me, and ridiculous. Like, I know I'm new at this, like, I'm not expecting anyone's respect as, like, a journalist like as a person, like I feel like I'm delightful, and I try to like say hey to people and learn people's names and develop relationships with people. And if I ever get to the point, well, like I don't know, this is I think what I respect most about how he's handled his whole career is that, like he'll never turn anyone down. He'll stop whatever he's doing and take a moment to say hi to someone. And I don't ever want to get to the point that like I'm too good to talk to somebody. It's ridiculous. So it's nice to hear all these stories about how he's taken like a minute and like made somebody feel special, and it's awesome.
He was also carrying two other suits, too. We were only going to be there for, like, 2 hours, so, wow. He was just like, so I don't know if he does that, like, everywhere, but, yeah, he was, you know, definitely ready for whatever occasions else was going to happen there, so, yeah.
Well, like, there were just times that I was, like, I don't know, I guess, not protective. Like, I know, like, honestly, like, he's just as much everyone else's as he is mine. Like, the NBA, like, that's his family, too, and I don't want to... I was taken away from that because he loved it, but I mean, when we were in Chicago, when he threw out the first pitch, we went to the bar across the street afterwards, and everyone was like, I'm like, dude, just let him grab a beer, like, let him get a freaking beer first and then talk to him. So I'm like stiff-arming people, like acting like security, just trying to get him out of the way, just so he can get a damn beer. Like, it was awesome at the game. I don't know who this guy is, I wish I knew who he was, but he had just finished taking out to the ball. Name. And right when he was done with that, they had done last call at the bar. And so he missed out on a beer, and this guy walked past and he's like, I just got this beer, do you want it? And like my entire family were just like, yeah, give me beer! It was awesome.
I love hearing stories about that, and well, I mean, and by that I mean your dad not being, you know, too good for somebody. Because, one, I don't think that's a conscious decision on his part, or anybody else who you hear stories like that about. You know, it's just the way that they're wired, I guess. And those are the legacies that last every bit as much and so much longer than what their actual, like, professional exploits were. You know, and anybody can, you know, anyone can leave a legacy of they did this, they did that, they worked for this company, they worked for that company. But it's something else when, you know, people say, oh, what I remember most wasn't, you know, their proficiency, but they were just a good person. That they, you know, they made me feel at ease. That they made this person's day or that person's day. When that's what you leave behind, that's what matters more than, you know, what your bank account looks like, what your resume looks like, what anything else does. It's character that resonates the longest as a legacy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to misquote it. I think it was Maya Angelou, though. Like, there's some quote, like, people don't remember, like, what you say, they don't remember what you do. Like, people are always going to remember the way that you make them feel. And everyone, I mean, just all the stories that I've heard, like, I'm glad that he's that kind of a person. So, it's been weird. Like, I lost two aunts to cancer, then 59 days of each other a few years back. And, I mean, my mom lost three siblings to cancer. This isn't necessarily unfamiliar territory for us, but, like, dealing with it in a very public way is. And it kind of forced me to get out of my own head sometimes and actually let people, like, be there for me. And I think that I'm better for it. So there's been a lot of good to come out of all this, too.
He's going to be listening to this podcast, so we're going to go ahead and give him a shout-out. So, Mr. Sager, all the positive vibes to you and to Casey and to the rest of your family.
All the positivity in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
keep
definitely.
Going.
Hey, guys, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you can also download this show on Stitcher and RareRay.net, and it's also being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. And by the way, follow me, RareRay, on Twitter at TheNolaPass. And check out my other site called TheNolaPass.com, where I talk about NBA stuff. Back to the show.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
So, Casey, you've been quite outspoken about Dwight Howard signing with the Hawks, saying that it's kind of saying that it's a good signing, and a lot of people are saying it's really, really bad. So, you want to explain yourself about that one?
I mean, I really hope that I don't end up looking like a jackass.
No,
this,
no.
But I am so, like, I am so, so, so on board with this. And it's not like a fangirl thing at all. Like, I mean, back, what was that, in March, I think, when he got caught with the stickum on his hands. Like, I even tweeted, like, I honestly didn't realize that Dwight Howard cared enough to cheat. And I have not been a fan of his in a very long time. I mean, honestly, back to when he could have come to Atlanta and, like, didn't want to sign on a max contract, and I was like, okay, good riddance, Dwight. Like, I've not been a fan of his in a long time, but it's been, like, a gradual, like, process of acceptance of this whole thing. Like, there have been different stages. Back when he was talking about coming home, like, my biggest thought was that's the only way he's ever going to be able to save his image is if he shows, like, that he's sincere about wanting to come home by taking a pay cut to do it. And, I mean, when they're talking about us signing him back last, like, winter, I'm like, there's no way it's going to happen. No way it's going to happen. No way it's going to happen. And I think that, like, I was rejecting it so vehemently because deep down, like, there's still this knowledge. Like, there's a really, like, real-world possibility this is going to happen. But just that whole, that thing that they did on NBA on TNT that basically ended up being, like, therapy, like, intervention, whatever you want to call it, that was, you know, the last thing that we did in L.A. on the last night after the ESPYs. We got back to the hotel, and Barkley was holding it down in the hotel bar. We walk in, and he was like, Sager, your speech is amazing, but you suck as a person. So, he's just, like, talking shit, like, all the time. Right. And, but he's still, I mean, he's so approachable, and Yeah, we've known him for a long time. I'm going to name drop like a right now, but I mean, my whole family all took him to show and tell when we were in elementary school, so it was just, it was nice that he was able to be there, and he was actually originally supposed to be the one to give my dad the award, and my dad had, apparently the entire TNT crew had decided that they were going to surprise my dad by going out to the ESPYs. And my dad specifically called Charles and asked him if he could come out there, and he didn't want to ruin the surprise or anything by telling him they were already planning it, and then it ended up being Biden, which is just awesome. I think that it made a statement that, like, everything that's going on is bigger than sports. So, and plus my dad's, like, very politically conservative, and it's awesome that he actually has, like, a bit of a friendship going with Biden. They just got to know each other really well out at MD Anderson, because Biden does a lot of work with his charities through that hospital, so it's cool that he has a cool new friend. But no, I sat down with Barkley for a little bit and, like, asked him, you know, what he thought about that, and just honestly, that whole segment, like, deserves an Emmy. That was one of the most, like, the best things that I've watched on television in a long time, and he, I mean, confirmed it was totally unscripted. They just started talking, and just watching him, I mean, you know, he's always wanted to be liked. He's always cared, like, what people thought about him, and that was kind of his issue. Like, he was joking around too much, like, trying to be, like, a class clown a little bit, and just watching him, like, take accountability for his role in the public's perception of him, and admitting that there have been times over the past few years that he hasn't been fully engaged, and that changed my mind a lot, too, just because it's not necessarily, like, even if it's not personal growth, even if it's just come from, like, a pure business standpoint, like, this is getting towards the end of his career. If he ever wants a long-term contract again, like, if he doesn't want to just keep, like, burning bridges and pissing people off, like, he needs to make a change. And even if it's just from a business standpoint, like, I don't really care. I just care that there are going to be results. So by the time that happened, you know, I had my phone set up, so I get a notification anytime Woj tweeted anything during free agency, and my phone buzzes, and I look down, and it's like, Dwight Howard signs with, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, like, obviously, it's Atlanta. Like, I knew it was going to be Atlanta, and I unlocked my phone and looked at the actual tweet, like, through my fingers. Like, I couldn't even look directly at it. And I was like, 70.5 over 3 years? Okay. And, like, I think it's a really good contract. Like, I wouldn't have been as psyched about it if we had signed him for 5 years. I don't think that we would have ever done that. But it's a good contract. I think that he's taking this seriously. You know, if he's not taking it seriously, I'll be the first one to call him out for it. But he's been, you know, Chris Matthews, his new shooting coach, has been tweeting, you know, videos of him. And at first, I'm like, is this from a damn loop? Because he's just hitting, like, 10 free throws in a row. His jumper looks completely different. Like, it's just, he's actually trying to, like improve his game. And I don't know. There's so many people in Atlanta. It's just, like, a little hypocritical. There's people in Atlanta that are still walking around, like, wearing Mike Vick jerseys. And, like, they're completely unwilling to, like, give this guy, like, any sort of a chance to redeem himself at all. Like, just root for him to, like, prove that he is serious about getting serious. And, like, he's been going to all the Atlanta Dream games. He was out at Summer League just sitting next to Coach Bud. Like, apparently he and Korver are starting to develop a bit of a bromance. I think it's awesome. And I'm, like, so excited for Media Day to get to talk to him about it. Because, I mean, I'll even tell him. Like, I was a total just on Twitter, like, not very long ago, but, like, you've changed my mind, so obviously whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, like, it's working, because I can be critical, and I'm fully on board with this now. Like, you've already converted one person, so keep it up.
Yeah, he was shooting 80% on the free throw line in L.A. practices, so there's that. You know, I guess it's just all mental right now when it comes to the free throw line for Dwight, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, I hope so, because I exactly haven't been a big fan of Dwight Howard for, like, since he left Orlando, really. Even when he was with the Lakers. I was actually more excited for Nash coming here than Dwight, really, because of what he did in Orlando. So, but hopefully he changes my mind, and hopefully, you know, the Hawks...
Well, that's another, like, everything in Orlando, that's why it's so bold, like, Coach Bud, you know, signing this guy notorious for getting coaches and execs fired, so... It was a bit of a gamble, too, but honestly, I don't think it's ridiculous to think that he'll have his best season since Orlando. I don't think that that's unattainable at all. I don't know what the hell the Hawks are going to look like this year, but I think it's going to be fun, so I don't know. Barkley was fully on board with it. He thinks it's a great signing. He was not happy about the Teague trade, but he generally doesn't like anything that the Hawks do, so whatever.
Well, maybe it's a good sign that Howard went to a team that is so stridently opposed philosophically to the type of offense that Howard usually brings to the table, which is to say, like, maybe, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 30 years old now, which is ancient, but like, but in NBA terms, it is kind of ancient, you know, especially if you've been a professional for over a decade. And so if it's the case, and, you know, we're talking about a big if, but we're also talking about a guy who didn't have to sign with Atlanta and did. But if the understanding is, hey, we're really not going to be looking for you on offense, so just go out there and dominate on defense.
Like,
yeah, you can just be Tristan Thompson on offense and still get 15 and 10 a game. That's, I mean, one, that sounds like an all-pro season to me. Two, that sounds like a pretty good value for the money that you spent. And three, it sounds like a pretty high seed in the playoffs.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone, you know, is saying, like, he needs to take a pay cut here. And he opted out, what, 23.5, I think, in his last year in Houston. And, I mean, his contract now is coming out. No, 23.3 is what he opted out of. And now I think he's getting 23.5 a year now. And in this market, like, that is a pay cut. And he was talking about looking for the max. And he ended up signing for significantly below that on the first day of free agency. So I'm glad that he didn't try to drag it out. Like, I don't know. I am going to make sure that the first game that I work, that I'm going to have, like, a big, like, basket of popcorn in front of me, just, like, for the second, like, the first block that he has, I'm just going to, like, throw the popcorn everywhere. Like, I'm so excited to just, like, really, really care about watching him. I don't know. I want to be as objective as possible, obviously, but, like, it's fun to root for people, and it's fun to root for people who have something to prove, and he has everything to prove now, and I don't know, I hope it works out.
Yeah, in comparison, LeBron signed for 3 years, $100 million, so, compared to Dwight, like, that's $30 million less, basically, so, yeah, definitely less than the max. Yeah, but it's still early, anyway. We're in August right now. The NBA season doesn't start until, like, 2 months from now, but, you know, if Dwight can get, if Dwight can help the Hawks get to, like, 52, 55 wins, then, yeah, I think he should be, you know, I don't know, go so
it's
far.
It's just like, there. Everyone's whining, you know, we want a true center, Okay, well, not that one. Like, oh, we want a superstar, we want a big name to sign here. Okay, not that one. Like, just be happy with what we have now. Like, it could work out. I don't know. I don't know why everyone has to be so damn pessimistic about it.
Yeah, plus he's going to be in a different role, too. He's going to be in the number one guy, right? Pretty much.
I know. I hope, I think their entire season is going to depend on whatever chemistry he and Schroeder are able to develop. And I hope they end up, like, being unlikely best friends and doing, like, a buddy cop comedy or something. Like, I don't know. I hope Schroeder's out there, you know, calling out plays in German and being a little German general out on the court. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited as hell for this. I just think it's going to be fun to watch no matter what happens. And, like, it's going to be fun at least, so.
No matter what happens, so even if it's going to be a disaster, like a 32-win team, it's going to be fun, right?
Well, Hampton probably going to Cleveland, so. We'll watch it too. Or after that.
Oh,
it's okay, I'm used to my teams, like, not being great. I've been
just saying, I'm trying to think of the last time somebody was, one, a surefire Hall of Famer before their 30th birthday. And then, two, had so much to prove in terms of their own worth as a player by their 30th birthday. Like, those two things seem pretty incompatible. But Dwight Howard is obviously a Hall of Famer, one of the best defenders of all time. And yet, it seems like ever since he left Orlando, it's and even before he left Orlando, it's, yeah, well, but... Yeah, Dwight Howard, but and it seems weird to me, and maybe it's because he's so freakishly athletic and visually imposing that you expect more than, I mean, anybody short of LeBron James can bring you in a given year, and so he's like almost a victim of the expectations that that he never really even asked for, much less. Warranted or anything like that. And so people, instead of saying, whoa, this guy's good, it turns into, yeah, but he's not good enough. When, in actuality, he's really, really objectively really good. And that's,
I mean, he was one of the last people to beat LeBron in the East. Like, with friggin', like, Turlu is, like, his second-hand man there. Like, Junior Nelson wasn't even in that series. Like, he's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to geek out too much about it, but I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, in the meantime, Dwight Howard left here 3 years ago, and he's still, like, one of the most hated people in Los Angeles. And that was,
I mean, I think his whole Superman moniker probably didn't help him. Like, you either die here or live long enough to become a villain. I think that, mm-hmm. I think that's gotten to him so much, too, and where he's just, like, been broken. Like, as a person, like, you can just tell, like, he's just broken. Like, he wants to be liked again. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
You know.
I only know one Superman. It's Dean Cain. That's all I know.
Don't even know why. Let's see that guy.
Hey guys, it's Pamela Horton. It's October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. See you then.
Day seems like a good day. Burn a bridge or two. One with old wood creaking. Burn away right on cue. I try to be not like that. Some people really suck. People need to keep their acting. Chalk it up to bad luck.
Team USA did well in basketball earlier today, and they just wiped out Argentina after all the speculation about how they might lose in the tournament sometime, right? So, I mean, do we have a right to be scared about Team USA losing?
I mean, if anything, like, I don't know, people are obviously always going to read, like, way too much into these kinds of games, but I think it's actually probably, like, a pretty good statement about U.S. basketball that, like, we're still managing to win, even when, like, even during games that we're playing like crap. So, I don't know. Hopefully something clicked for them today.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch any of it on account of work. So I was more upset that Team France lost because shout out to Boris Diaw. If Team USA wasn't going to win the gold, I really hope Team France would. Because I'm a Bobo fan for life, and if the Rudy Gobert report just so happens to be another beneficiary of it, so be it. But I'm glad that Diaw and Gobert get to hang out in the American Alps, a.k.a. Utah. I think that's going to be a good match for both of them. But really, I'm here for Bobo, and I guess the Americans. Did either of you happen to see the picture that Bobo tweeted out of him doing film scouting with, and I quote, with an espresso hashtag, of course. And lo and behold, he's there at the Olympics with his personal espresso maker. And as Ashley Holcomb pointed out as well, shout out to Ashley Holcomb, a giant stack of Uno cards in the room with him. Like,
what?
Oh yeah. I mean,
never for change.
Exactly. Like, do you have any idea how much I want to, like, watch basketball film and drink espresso and play Uno with Boris Diaw? I'm saying it is the dream. Like, there's nobody else in the NBA that I want to hang out with as much as I do Boris Diaw and just do Uno and basketball. Like, that's the life. That's it right there. He's got it figured out.
What about Ray Ray? Who would you hang out with?
Tim Duncan. I want to play Dungeons and Dragons with Tim Duncan, or maybe play a little Super Mario Kart or something like that. Because everyone, like,
get old, maybe.
Yeah, my friends think he's, like, the most boring person ever. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Tim Duncan's a very fun person outside of basketball. I mean, not that he's not fun in basketball, but, you know, he doesn't do the flashy dunks and stuff like that. He's more of a bank shot artist and, you know, a great passer and all that stuff, an awesome defender. But, yeah, I would love to hang with Tim Duncan, and he seems very funny. Like, if you've seen those HEB commercials in San Antonio, they're awesome.
No way. That's insane.
So, yeah, we like Spurs. Of course, you have a former Spur now.
Yeah, we like the former Spurs.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, shout out to Boban. go wreck house in Detroit, too. So many former Spurs that are not current Spurs, and that makes me sad.
I know. I love that 2014 team, honestly. That was the most fun basketball team. I don't know. I'm looking at Boris Diaw's Instagram right now, and it's like, it's just a lot of pictures from the Philippines, which, as you guys know, were my home country. It's so, that's pretty awesome.
You guys have something to talk about, apparently.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, I haven't been back to the Philippines since 1989, so there's that. I need to go back. Hang out with Boris Diaw in the Philippines, apparently.
Yeah, you gotta do your homework first. Because he's going to want to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll play Uno in the Philippines, too. How about you, Casey?
Honestly, I kind of want to go bro out with Evan Turner, just because I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, I've said it a couple times before. I'm actually, working on a piece about it now. Like, he, to me, is, like, the Nick Cage of the NBA. Like, I have so many, like, conflicting emotions. Like, I don't know how, like, sometimes, like, he's a legitimate sixth man of the year candidate for a minute there. And then other times, like he has horrible three-point, like, percentages, and yet the ones that he hits are, like, super clutch. Like, I don't know how seriously I'm supposed to take him. I can't ever tell how seriously he's taking himself. Like, he made that comment, like, when he passed it to Crowder to win a game against the Sixers and compared that to when Jordan passed the ball to Kerr and, like, adding to his legacy like that. Like, he's talking about adding to his legacy in a game against the Sixers. Like, I just, like, I need to understand, like, who he is and, like, what I'm supposed to think about him. And I don't know. I think that maybe taking him out of Boston, putting him in a different context, maybe, like, we'll get a better idea of, like, what his deal is when he's out in Portland, but...
So, a few years ago, Evan Turner was on Twitter, and people were actually, like, frantically tweeting me about this. It's like, hey, guess what, Ray? Evan Turner's talking about the Backstreet Boys. Like, he seriously went on, like, an hour-long Twitter rant about how Backstreet Boys is better than NSYNC. Seriously. And he's retweeting every Backstreet Boys fan on his timeline. I'm just kind of like, wow.
But he might be a genius. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's something about that guy, and obviously, like, I published that piece, I'm like, oh yeah, Evan Turner likes the Backstreet Boys, and that got me a bunch of hits. So, that was cool.
That was, like, some top-shelf journalism. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So,
Who in the NBA do you think would like 98 Degrees the most?
I don't know.
Oh, nice. Man.
And why?
JJ Redick, maybe?
we both went for Duke guys.
I went to Georgia Tech. I have, like, an irrational hatred for JJ Redick.
JJ Redick has a pretty good podcast, man. I've heard it. It's pretty good.
What?
No, apparently he's, like, an awesome person.
He's doing it, like, during the season, which is amazing because you're probably not supposed to do that, but he does. And he talks to basketball players during that time.
Because he's obviously not going anywhere. Like, he's obviously going to get into commentating or something after this. I need to just get over it.
Yeah, it's like him and, like, I don't know, like, Jared Dudley were breaking down the Warriors, like, during March. It was kind of weird. Because I don't know if you're supposed to do that, really, on public or whatever. But I don't know.
Here's an extensive list of the things that we talked about in practice. Everyone's thoughts? No!
Yeah.
JJ, no!
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, he's good. Like, I'm not taking anything away from how good he is as a podcaster. Mm-hmm. Not that we're here to judge about that. So I do want to talk about one stupid thing during the Olympics, though, where Gabby Douglas didn't put her head over her heart during the national anthem, which I actually pretty much regularly do when I'm at games. And here she is getting criticized for not putting her hand over her heart.
Okay, like, I mean, aside from getting to see Manu's beautiful bald head, like, that was my personal highlight of the Olympics. Like, I gave up on him shaving his damn head, like, 5 years ago, and I got so, like, freaking excited when that happened. I don't know, it's just, it's been, like, some weird, like, state of, like, this whole Olympics, like, some weird, like, state of the union, like, what we, as a country, have decided that we're gonna get pissed off about. And... Yeah, on one hand, like, some of the things were really good. Like, I mean, the whole Corey Cogdell thing, like, being referred to as a Dennis Lineman's wife, like, it's a good thing that we all collect. I mean, yeah, there's going to be, like, a couple of assholes out there who disagree with anything. But, I mean, as a whole, we're like, yeah, that was not okay. And it was not okay. But, like, the rest of it, it's a little murkier. Like, I don't know. We're going to give, like, we're going to give Bolt crap for showing too much emotion. We're going to give Gabby Douglas, like, crap for not showing enough. And we're apparently all just going to laugh it off when Draymond Green shows his to the entire world. So I don't know what it is, like, that we get offended about anymore. I don't know if it's just people looking to be angry or what, but...
Is this, like, the fake outrage generation or something?
Well,
absolutely.
Don't call it a generational thing, because Bill Plaschke's not 20 years old. I'm saying, like, this is not some new thing. However, I would just like to say that I believe in American Olympic athletes representing the best of America. And one thing that upsets me is when I see Americans behaving petulantly toward the things that make this country great, ignoring the things that make this country great, and being generally ungrateful for it. And for that reason, I think we deserve an apology from Bill Plaschke, because he needs to go straight to hell, preferably through an active volcano, for even suggesting that Gabby Douglas, a bona fide American hero who went and represented America at the Olympics, which you don't really do if you don't like your country, and who put on a heroic performance, and last I checked, it's not like legally mandatory to put your hand over your heart. Nope. And she didn't have anything to pout about. Like, this is totally a made up thing. We even got to see all five of those girls who are amazing, every single one of them. We got to see them in the studio afterwards, and like we got to watch themselves on the podium, and they were all giggly and happy. It is an entire
They're the cutest.
They were incredible, and they made me happy to be an American. Bill Plaschke does not make me happy to be an American. Like, Bill Plaschke is the one who's being unpatriotic. He is, like, this is on him. This is not on Gabby Douglas or any other gymnast or anybody else who has, you know, like, even if Gabby had some legitimate beef, like the guys at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, which, one, she wasn't doing that, not even slightly. Even if she were, guess what? This is America, and we're allowed to do that. You can find countless examples of NBA players, NFL players, all sorts of white male heroes who aren't covering their heart during a national anthem. And nobody's like, well, what a disgrace. Slouching toward controversy. No, nobody gets that sort of scrutiny. But all of a sudden Gabby Douglas has her arms down because, you know, she probably wasn't thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I have to make sure I don't upset the 50-year-old white cranky sports writers. Like, that isn't part of the mental calculus. And it is an abomination that she had to put up with that, that her Olympic experience, which should have been the highlight of her life bar none, that it had to get ruined by some cranky who had nothing better to do than to try to sell another extra 20,000 copies of the LA Times, like, once or twice, and just drag a hero through the mud in the process. That is awful to me. Just absolutely awful. And I'd like to hold my breath until he apologizes. I know better, but it is so incorrect that something like that was allowed to happen to an actual American hero like Gabby Douglas. And that's all I have to say about that.
We love you, Gabby. You probably won't hear this podcast, but we love you. Bill Plaschke, we don't love you. And to add to that Bill Plaschke fire, I was in Summer League last year trying to interview some Lakers and stuff like that, and you know, I was, you know, close to the player, and there, you know, there's kind of a pile, and Bill Plaschke was like pretty far from the pile, and all he did was complain the entire time that he couldn't get into, you know, the middle of it, and he couldn't ask any questions, so he just left. And then he wrote a piece that he pretty much made up on one of the rookies. I'm like, okay, that's great, fantastic. Yeah, so that was my Bill Plaschke experience. Even though he didn't do anything to me, but put his elbow on my shoulder. So, there's that. Yeah, we don't love you, Bill Plaschke. You won't hear this anyway. That's okay.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Anyway, is it story time?
I suppose we could tell a story.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan. And
should we go with my story first? Because both of you are, well, Casey's already heard this, but you're probably dying to hear what the hell happened to me in Las Vegas last year.
Yeah, I think we do need to hear a little bit of a Las Vegas story.
Yeah, this was, okay, so no matter where you are in Las Vegas, it is not safe. Because I was at my cousin's when this happened, right? So, here I am being a diligent worker, right? Up to 1 in the morning, finishing up my Laker piece for Forum Blue and Gold. Shout out to Forum Blue and Gold for the ESPN Tribune Network. So I just finished that. I got up off my desk, and I'm ready to go to sleep. Then, like a sitcom or whatever, my cousin and her entourage burst through with alcohol. And they're like, hey, Ray, you want a drink? And I'm like, well, I don't have to go to the arena tomorrow. Sure, why not? So, we're drinking. And by the way, this is the last time I drank, and I'm never drinking ever again after this episode happened. Anyway, so we're just here exchanging stories, stuff like that. My cousin's friend, I'm not going to say her name, if not, she'll kill me if she actually hears this, but, so, she was interested in what I was doing, and I told her, oh, well, I'm writing about the Lakers and stuff like that, you know, so she became super interested in what I was doing, and as the drinks poured in, and, you know, time went by, we became more flirtatious with each other and stuff like that. And this, it just gets more and more awkward because this is my cousin's place. And, you know, it's like, oh, they've never seen me like this before or whatever, talking to women and stuff like that. So, somewhere along the lines, I think you were just making some stupid jokes or whatever. And I don't recommend doing this to anybody anywhere. I don't know, Casey might like it, whatever. But, so, I slapped her ass. Right?
Right.
And
there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, right? So, you know, my cousin found it funny. She didn't really find it that funny, so whatever. We go on, right? So, about a few minutes later, we're in the backyard. We're just talking and making jokes with each other. Then, out of nowhere, she kicks me in the groin. Like, she just kicks me in the balls as hard as she could, and I just, like, went down in a heap, and, like, she was apologetic immediately after that. And I'm just like, what's that for? Yeah. And, yeah, so that hurt. And, you know, I don't want to ever experience that again. And I'm sure, Adam, you don't ever want to experience that if that hasn't happened to you before. Has it?
I don't think I've ever been.
Are you saying that was it? That was not the end of the story that I heard.
No, it's not the end of the story. I'm just.
Oh.
Okay.
So keep going.
So. A few minutes later, she's, like, taking care of me, blah, 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 stuff like that. And then, while we're in the kitchen, we started making out.
Mm-hmm.
In front of everybody. You know, it's not awkward at all. That went on for a long while, right? And my cousins love to tell that story now to our other cousins. Like, oh, guess what? Ray made out with this girl. You know, so that's great. Thanks. So, I was so super drunk, and I didn't think the makeout was worth it really, because the next morning I just kept throwing up, and I was just like in a fetal position for like the longest time, and I didn't get up to like 6 at night, so I basically missed like that day's summer league. Because I was so hungover, like 11 types of hangovers or something, right? So later on that night, our good friend Zach Harper calls up saying, "Hey, where are you? I've been sitting all day." And he invites me out to the Cosmo, and, you know, we just chilled there with all the other writers. And while I was there, I told Harper the story of what happened to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's all like, "Well, your goal for the rest of the trip is to not get kicked in the balls then, right?" I'm like, "That's easy, sure." Right? So the next couple of days, random writers will go up to me, and they're just like, "Hey, Ray, how's it going? You look good right now." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Why, what's up?" "Well, you didn't get kicked in the balls today, so I assume you're fine." And I'm like, "Harper!" Told everybody. So, yeah. I'm never drinking again.
I mean, that's your takeaway from it. Like, my takeaway from it is you should not, like, be willing to make out with someone who just kicked you in the balls. Like, you deserve better
than
that.
Yeah. Well.
Like, did Draymond do it for you?
I mean, Casey, I see where you're coming from. But, at the same time, I feel like rescuing a situation from "this lady kicked me in the nards" and taking it all the way back to "it's time to make out with her," I feel like that's kind of a victory.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a victory or not, because...
Don't.
I mean, did it feel like you won?
I felt awful until, like, around 6 at 6 p.m. the next day.
That is the alcohol's problem, not the ladies. So does she have my number then, or what?
We have each other on Facebook, which is why I'm not mentioning her name in public. And the funny thing is that she actually moved to where I'm living right now, like to the city that I'm living in. So it's almost like she's following me or something. Yeah, because she used to live in Las Vegas, and now she moved here. So I'm just like, uh-oh. I guess stay tuned. And if something happens, I will tell the story. I will specifically invite Casey to the podcast and tell her the
story. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you mentioned girl problems.
Oh, boy.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some fun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Now, my story with the female difficulties, it doesn't involve physical pain, not to the nardular regions. Thank goodness. This actually, it took place in high school. And, I'll be honest, I had a bully, but it was a lady bully. That can happen. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. the 21st century. I mean, it was the 20th century back then, but late 20th century. Anyway, her name was, Camille. But everybody mm-hmm. called her Cammy. She's married now, and I'm sure she's not even listening to this. I don't even know what she's doing these days. But anyway, so I'm just going to use her name, whatever. And she was very pretty, mm-hmm. and very popular, and knew how to use those things to her advantage. And when I was growing up, when I was especially a freshman and sophomore, like, I was short. I was only 5'4" as a sophomore in high school, and she was at least 5'8". And so, you know, she literally looked down on me, and that gave her an excuse to look down on me. You know, what was I going to do? It's just some little pipsqueak. And so, you know, her popular friends would tease me, and they would tape things, you know, usually I'd get them back, but, you know, there'd be one day, but it would normally happen in the halls, which are, basically lawless wastelands between classes. You know, once the class is actually going, teachers can hold some sort of order, but there's only so much you can do when you're packing 1,600, hormones own psycho teenagers into these hallways where, you know, fire codes would suggest you should have about 12. Not 1,200, 12. So anyway, so, you know, I would mainly get it that way, and sometimes I would try to alter my route. But these were smart people, smart girls, and they would, anyway. So, but there was one day when we were leaving economics class, and so Cammy said something to me, and I'm having trouble even remembering what it was, but it was a pointed jibe that wouldn't have made sense except as sort of a coded threat. And my econ teacher, Mr. Robinson, mm-hmm. he looks at her, and he was a very proper guy, but he knew how to get his point across, and how to be intimidating while still being very proper. And mm-hmm. and so he's like, Ms. Young, that's her name, it's about enough. And she's like, whatever, because, you know, what's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm about to leave the class too, and he's like, Mr. Jacoby, like, that's how he would, like, his general way to address people was, you know, their honorific in the last name. If you used your full name, you knew you were in deep trouble, but usually it was Ms. Sager, or Mr. Morality. And it was sort of refreshing, especially in a public school, where mm-hmm. usually the teachers are just trying to stay alive, but he had this incredible command of a room and of the people in it, and I kind of miss him. Shouts out to Mr. Robinson. But anyway, he's like, Mr. Jacoby, do we have an issue here? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, you know, if there's an issue, it's okay to tell people. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to try and handle it. He's like, very well. And so so one day, I live close enough to the school that I could ride my bike there. And so we're leaving the class, and our old friend Cammy was starting to get a little bit more bold in her teasings. And so we're leaving, and she says, boy, Adam, you sure look stupid wearing your bike helmet. Ha, 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 ha. And he's like, Ms. Young, well, I won't tolerate that in my classroom. And she's like, whatever. And I'm like, really? Like, I sort of expected a little bit more, and he's like, don't worry. Okay. But the teasing would continue, and really only in Mr. Robinson's classroom. And I started to resent that a little bit, and so eventually I'm like, hey, Mr. Robinson, what's the deal with this? Like, I thought you said that, that this is the sort of thing that could be taken care of. But she's only acting out in your class now. And he's like, well, Mr. Jacoby, this will come back on her. Don't you worry. And so one day, and I should also point out that Cammy was always the first person to leave the classroom. And it was sort of her, you know, it was a strategic thing, like, oh, you fire your firing shot, and then you're out the door before anybody can really do anything about it. And so, you know, bell rings, she's about to, and she's turning around, she's going to say something snotty, and she trips over the over the doorway out, because apparently somehow a ruler had been in the doorway, right across the door, and she, being the first one through it, tripped and fell, and everybody laughed at her. And I felt kind of good about that, because I knew it wasn't really an accident. I didn't know how he did it, but I knew he had done it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and so she's down on the ground, she's mortified, and she's like, what happened? How did that happen? Why did that happen? And Mr. Robinson looks down at her, and she's like, And he, is like, well, it's karma. Karma, 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 Camille Young.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Do I have to say anything? Can I just, like, react, like, internally to that?
And that's how I learned to get buckets.
Well, that was fun. Thank you for listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
I waited like 3 or 4 minutes for a punchline. I was like, oh, where is this going?
See, it's
every single time. Uh-huh. Every single time.
I have to make sure you're not going to see it coming.
How are you doing, Casey?
I don't even know. No, like, I don't, good God. Like, was that fun for you, though? Like, doing
yes.
that? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Adam does this all the time. Like, I don't know why he would do something that he would hate all the time. Well, at least you were willing to listen, unlike Lana, like, last year. I mean, Lana. Sorry. Lana
Whoa.
Married last year.
Oh, Ray, you can't make that mistake.
I know. She's never coming back on this podcast, too. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like that one was longer, though, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I know. She thought, like, Casey listened to our podcast with Lana, and she noted that Lana was miserable at the start of the story. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Which story was that?
It sounded like she was in pain.
Uh-huh. That meant
it was the Lakers one at the end. The,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
he was so proud of that one. Like, I swear, like, he... Adam was so excited to tell me that he texted me at 6 in the morning Pacific time. Like, I was, like, dead asleep during that time, and he just wanted to tell me during that time, so, yeah.
That's a weird note to end things on.
Yeah, well, yeah. So we're all about weird. So you want to go ahead and plug your social media and wherever else your work is at on the internets.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you can find everything that I've been writing on dualbreakdown.com. Haven't really put a bunch of stuff out there recently, just because it's been a bit of a goat rodeo lately, as my stepdad would say. So trying to get things to calm down, but I've got a whole bunch of stuff in the works that I'll be up on that site, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSagerBomb.
Where did that come from?
Come on. My dad has a restaurant with, he originally opened it with Doc Rivers and Scott Hastings and Randy Whitman, and it was like 15 of them, and I worked at one of my first restaurants when I was like 18 back in 2004. And that was, like, in YouTube. It just started, like, one of the first, like, YouTube videos on there was some people buying my dad a shot, and, like, they had gotten a round of Jaeger bombs, and I was like, ooh, my dad's like, not Jaeger bombs, Jaeger bombs! And so my manager happened to see that, and so, yeah, like, people actually call me that. I'm starting to think that, I don't know if I should just embrace it, or if it's time to maybe step away from that, but, yeah.
Saker bomb. And Adam, go ahead and plug your stuff.
Well, I am I'm on the twitter.com at Adam _ Jacoby.
As we always say, the underscore is always important.
Always important. Shouts out to Adam _ Jacoby, the forensics teacher in Wisconsin who hates my guts. And rightfully so.
Has he blocked you yet?
Oh yeah. Years ago. He asked for none of this attention and deserves none of it, and yet. So, shouts out Doppelganger Adam Jacoby. And you can also find some of my writing at the new and awesome and appropriately named GoIowaAwesome.com. It's for all things Iowa Hawkeyes sports, because I know that the Venn diagram of people who listen to Ray Ray's podcast and Iowa Hawkeye fans is a perfect circle. Shouts out to the guy who used to be in the band Tool. Our Go Iowa Awesome Twitter handle is not Go Iowa Awesome, because some guy took that when we were just using it as a catch. It's on our site years ago, and like he tweeted twice and then abandoned it. So our website Twitter handle is just at Iowa Awesome. And it's, you know what? It's simpler that way anyway. So anyway, at Adam underscore Jacoby, at Iowa Awesome, goiowaawesome.com. And a little bit of advice just to send us out here. There's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
Mr. Craig Seger, all the positive vibes to you. Thank you for listening. And Casey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're awful.
Thank you. It's mostly been fun.
Thank you so much to Casey Seger for coming on the show. She and her family have been through a lot, and obviously we all know that Craig Seger is still fighting cancer. We are all rooting for you, sir, and we're definitely thinking of you and your family. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I took a 2-month break because I needed to get away from everything. A dear friend of mine passed away on July 8th. Colleen Burns, who was one of my first Twitter friends and a longtime supporter of me and all my other projects, died in a freak accident while vacationing at the Grand Canyon. And it's so awful that we lost her so early. She was only 35. And the funny thing is that I'm recording this right now on August the 18th. Which happens to be Colleen's birthday. She'd be 36 today. I wish she were here right now so we could celebrate a sparkly birthday for her, but I'm sure she's spreading the sparkle up in heaven right now. Colleen was a super positive person in this world, and I think I'm a pretty optimistic person, but mine pales in comparison to Colleen's optimism. She is always laughing, smiling, dancing even. Her mantra was, don't stop dancing. Colleen was all about getting people together. She worked at Yelp. She built a fan club for the DJ named Cascade. She covered the Orlando Magic when she created Lady Ballers, which was to help women navigate the male-dominated sports world. She was always about community. Heck, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have known awesome people online like Elizabeth Farmer, Jessica Roman, Karen DeVinny, Alexis Norton, Cheryl Blank, Lisa Drobich, Jen Marsh. She was also part of the Gal Pal Squad, and as you know, they appear on this podcast as kick-ass women that I can trust when I need to talk about something. And also, you guys know that I exchange pop song lyrics through text with the people that I really love, and Colleen was one of them. And in fact, our last exchange through text was a week before she passed. It was the lyrics to Summer Girls by LFO, and it's just too bad that I can't talk to her anymore. And I can't text with her anymore, and that I won't see her beautiful smile anymore. Colleen, thank you for all you've done for me. This podcast is dedicated to you. We will never, ever stop dancing. We love you, Colleen Burns. Happy birthday.